We just sang Psalm 124, and now we want to read it together, Psalm 124. This is another of the Songs of Degrees. This is titled A Song of Degrees of David, Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. May God bless the reading of His Word. These songs of degrees remind us of the people of Israel traveling to Jerusalem for feast occasions. And this psalm in particular reminds me in a way of something that we do in our Bible conference here year by year. That's sort of our feast day in a way. I always make sure that we sing, And Are We Yet Alive? Because we have friends coming in from other places. Some of them maybe we've not seen for a year. And it's a good reminder to count our blessings and think about how that the Lord has preserved us since we met last and preserved us for another year. And we're yet alive. And we're here to sing praise to the Lord and to worship Him. Sometimes we also sing a hymn that goes safely through another week. And certainly every Lord's Day is a marker to consider the mercies of God to us just through another week of life. And we reflect upon the Lord's goodness and the Lord's preserving us. Well, this psalm reminds me of that spirit. Here are these pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem, and they are thinking of how the Lord has preserved them since the last feast or the last journey to Jerusalem. And perhaps thinking even in a broader way of God's preservation of the whole nation of Israel throughout their national history from the days of Abraham onward. It is a psalm of wonder and praise for deliverance and preservation from enemies by the mercies of the Lord. Now, you notice in these first two verses, we have quite a bit of italics. And if you leave out the italics, you get something on the order in English, a very choppy couple of verses. But that's the way we think sometimes, and that's the way we speak sometimes. And though the italics is helpful for good grammar in English, you can't help but see here the sense of amazement, the exclamation, the unfinished thought, the incomplete thought that goes on to the next step. Maybe it comes in the form of a question, really, though there's no question mark here in our translation. What if God was not on our side? What would be true of us if God was not with us? If it had not been the Lord? If it had not been the Lord? who was on our side. But for God, where would we be now? We wouldn't be traveling, the Israelites would say, to Jerusalem. We would be in captivity among our enemies at best, and perhaps in the grave at worst. As far as this world is concerned, where would we be were it not for God on our side? And then it speaks of the various enemies or the various schemes of the enemies, these men who rose up against us, verse 2, in a way that the history of the whole nation of Israel is just that. It is one foreign power after another coming in, fighting, and the Lord in one way or another giving deliverance. And perhaps even in these very times in which, or in any given year when the people would be going up to Jerusalem, they could look back on some dangers and difficulties in the previous year. Enemies that rose up against them. And it tells us what their plans were. They came to swallow us up quick. And that word quick is not an adverb, it's not quickly. It's an adjective. They came to swallow us up live, to eat us alive, we might say. When their wrath was kindled against us. If God had not been on our side, we would have been destroyed. Another illustration here is the waters had overwhelmed us. Coming in like a flood, the enemy would have come in and just overrun us. The stream had gone over our soul. We would have been overwhelmed. We would have been drowned, as it were, at the hand of our enemies in their swift, overpowering destruction upon us. Then the proud waters, verse 5, had gone over our soul. They came to devour, verse 6. Speaks of the illustration of an animal with the prey in its mouth, just ready to crush it and ingest it. And verse 7 uses another illustration, the ensnaring of a bird. That's where they were. That's where they were. They were in such a predicament as that. And if God had not come to the aid of His people, what would have become of them? They would have perished. They would not be going to the feast at Jerusalem now. Well, we can certainly apply this to ourselves. Where would we be without God? If the Lord was not on our side, what might have happened? What most certainly would have happened? The enemies of God would destroy the people of God and destroy them utterly and totally, not leaving a single one on the face of the earth, swallowing us up alive, as it were, overwhelming us, drowning us, devouring us, ensnaring us. There are enemies to the Christian in this world. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And this world and the devil from without would seek to utterly destroy the truth of God and the people of God in the earth. Enemies of the truth would destroy God's law. We see that going on around us in our generation. Some of the most basic tenets of God's moral law are being set aside in these very days. Exhibit A is the sodomite marriage issue. And they seek not only to destroy marriage, but to destroy God's law concerning marriage, and to destroy any who insist on maintaining or mentioning God's law. If you followed some of the arguments made there before the Supreme Court last week, you know what I'm talking about. We seem so weak compared to these enemies. How vulnerable we are. We're like a little speck that is about to be overwhelmed by these flood waters and lost, destroyed, never seen again. How easily we would perish if the Lord were not on our side. And don't overlook the character of these enemies that is mentioned here in this psalm. It says that they're angry. Verse 3, their wrath is kindled. It speaks of their pride in verse 5, in the form of waters. That's the illustration. Proud waters, swelling waters that would destroy the soul of God's people. And so it is, the enemies of believers in this world are angry and proud, and they look down their noses at believers in Jehovah and those who take God's word seriously. They look at you as ignorant, obstinate, behind the times, Neanderthal fanatics, stubborn relics of a bygone age. Nonetheless, God is on our side. Though we are weak in the eyes of men, though we narrowly escape time and time again, we are upheld, and God's cause in the earth is upheld by infinite strength. We're preserved by a miracle of grace. The world has always been on the attack against the truth of God and the people of God. But God preserves. But God is with His people. And if God be for us, who can be against us? The New Testament assures us. Now, I think it's worth noting here what really seems like three tenses of activity. We have the past in verses 1 through 5. Obviously, if these pilgrims are on their way to Jerusalem, then the Lord had preserved them, had sustained them up to this point. And so these first five verses are looking backward. Well, if the Lord had not been on our side, this would have happened. But the Lord was on our side, and these things did not happen. And here we are, worshiping the Lord, going to the feast. And then there's the present in verses 6 and 7. Still alive. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. We are living testimonies of the goodness of God. We are living epistles of God, written with the finger of God. And so we ought to presently praise Him for His deliverance and His preservation of our souls, and even of our lives on this earth. And though we may lose our lives, He will preserve a remnant unto Himself. That is the history of the church for 2,000 years. The Lord preserves a witness to Himself, oftentimes small, oftentimes in hiding and under persecution, but nonetheless preserved by God's powerful hand. Notice also this illustration of the birds in verse 7. This is especially interesting to me. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. Now, a bird is a harmless creature, flying about, minding his own business. But here is the fowler who sets the trap, prepares the snare, takes the bird in unawares. The bird is, for the sake of illustration, innocent and unsuspecting. And yet he is ensnared. The fowler is much more crafty than the bird. Well, God's people are compared to birds here. We are harmless, perhaps unsuspecting, and we would never dare to lay a snare for our enemies. We are not crafty as they are. But Satan is ultimately the great fowler. He's the great bird catcher. And he lays these snares, perhaps snares of persecution, snares of unfavorable government, snares of social pressure, not to mention snares of false doctrine. These are the snares that Mr. Spurgeon mentions, false doctrine that we may unsuspectingly fall into, or snares of doubt and despair on the one hand, or pride and presumption on the other hand. Snares of lust. There's all kinds of snares that entrap the people of God and cause them a great fall and great shame and great difficulty. But God is greater than the fowler. Satan is the fowler, but God is greater than the fowler. And the perseverance of the saints is not because our enemy is weak. He's a powerful enemy. It's not because our enemy is stupid. It's because God is all powerful. And God is all wise. That's why the saints of God persevere. Mr. Plummer says, if we are saved from ruin in any shape, it is wholly by a power outside of ourselves. And the last part of the verse addresses that. The snare is broken. Satan's schemes to destroy us and ruin us are broken, and we are escaped. You know, we read in the New Testament that God takes care of the birds. He counts the birds. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without God's leave. And that should be a great comfort to us as we compare ourselves to a little bird. In fact, you read there in two different places in the four Gospels, where the Lord speaks in the one place of two sparrows sold for one farthing. And how many sparrows did you get for two farthings? Well, you'd say it would be four. No, he says five sparrows are sold for two farthings. Evidently, if you paid two farthings, they threw in an extra one, sort of like a baker's dozen on a smaller scale. And the Lord notices even the spare sparrow, the extra one that's thrown in as a freebie. Well, that should comfort us. Sometimes we may feel like we're just the extra sparrow that isn't worth anything or is sickly and maybe thrown in as a bonus or something. God takes note of every one of his little birds. And he preserves us. He protects us. He provides for us. He breaks the snares that we are caught in. He allows us to escape. And we read of that escaping in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians about escaping the temptations. And so God restrains the schemes of the enemy or enemies of our souls. He only lets them go so far. The wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain, another psalm says. He restrains, he sets the limits as to how far the snare can go, or how long we stay in the snare. We see that in the book of Job, don't we? And so we can look back and see the Lord's preservation. We can presently rejoice in what he's doing now. And as far as the future is concerned, perhaps there's a view to that in verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. For whatever future contingencies, snares, dangers, we have a helper. And it is the Lord, and it is the name of the Lord, his character, who he is. We trust him. We look to him. We trust him for all of our tomorrows. As evil advances in this world around us, as we almost dread to read the headlines day by day, wondering what's going to be next, as it becomes increasingly difficult to serve the Lord in a hostile environment, in a perverse social climate, let us remember our help is in the name of the Lord. And this verse especially mentions him as the creator, the one who made heaven and earth. Thomas Manton says it is as if the psalmist had said, as long as I see heaven and earth, I will never distrust. So as long as I see those two great standing monuments of his power before me, namely heaven and earth, I will never be discouraged. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to consider? As long as we are able to see or feel heaven or earth, we have reminders of the Almighty power of God, the eternal creator that he is. It is noteworthy then that in the New Testament we read these words in 1 Peter 4. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful, and we might expect it to say redeemer, but it says a faithful creator. There is comfort in considering creation, and that all of creation, and that all that occurs in creation, which includes the angelic beings and fallen angels, demons, it is all according to God's purpose, according to God's decree. And we trust in him. He's our helper. It's easy for him who created all things to work deliverance for his people. Well, the Lord is our help. The Lord is our hope. And He is a great Savior. Yes, from our perspective, we oftentimes so narrowly escape. But because it is infinite power that delivers us, then it is, from the divine perspective, a great, broad escape. So from this psalm, let us be amazed. Let us be amazed to be alive. And I mean not so much physically as spiritually. Let us be amazed that the Lord has preserved our souls, that He has given us life in Christ, and that He has preserved our spiritual life to this hour. Do you see yourself in this psalm? Can you say, if the Lord had not preserved my soul, if He had not preserved His work of grace in me, what would have become of me? How often would I have been destroyed? How often would I have fallen to my utter and total ruin? But the Lord preserved. The Lord delivered. The Lord saved. And He is a great Savior. And we are yet alive, not just in the body, because that will come to an end, but we are alive, especially in the soul and toward God, to His praise. Without God, where would you be tonight? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, where would you be? Well, let us keep trusting Him and stand firm in His word and look to Him for the help that only He can give. Even if you end up like a bird in a snare, locked in, or if you end up between the jaws that are about to close and to crush you, keep looking to the Lord. Keep trusting in Him. And He will see you through. I can't promise that He will deliver you from a martyr's death. But even in that, He will see you through. And that's better than living on in this world without Him.